Welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's Tyler Aki and Barry Cronin.
It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Aki. He is the editor of Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Barry Cronin. We'll get to Mark Rolfing in just a second from Golf Channel. By the way, that last segment where we were talking all things about junior golfing, that was brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Geneva National. Destination Geneva National. So we've got the Masters coming up. The Tiger question is still lurking right now with everybody, but this is really an exciting time in golf. It's the first major on the calendar. You're getting ready. The weather's starting to turn, and then, oh boy, you hear that Masters music, you hear the birds chirping, and it's go time. It is a different vibe at this time of year for golfers.
It is. It's amazing that the PGA Tour season actually – this season started back in September, but really, the truth is, for most people, April is the start, and the Masters is the start because it's such a unique event, and it's known around the world, got incredible traditions, and the other really cool thing about the Masters is with CBS, they don't have very many commercials. Whereas if you watch the average PGA Tour event, you know, you see, it seems like you see about four swings and then you get like 12 commercials.
Right.
So that's the other beauty of the Masters. It makes it so unique. And just the number of camera angles that people are able to see, it's such a beautiful telecast. CBS does a great job. Lance Barrow used to be the guy, and now Sellers Shy is the executive producer for CBS now, and it does a fantastic job.
Who's your favorite of the golf productions in terms of, like, do you like CBS? Did you like NBC? Did you like it when Fox did their thing for a little bit?
Boy, you know, as kind of a golf junkie, there's I like certain things about all of them. You know, that's a really lame answer. You know, I mean, I should be saying I like one or the other. I thought that there were certain elements of Fox that I really liked. I really thought Joe Buck was good because he was a little bit more irreverent than...
And now that he's at ESPN, we may see him do some Masters stuff in the future.
Oh, that would be cool. It's just that what I liked about him was he was more irreverent. When you have, obviously, Jim Nance with CBS and the Masters, very... You know, it's reverential. You know, he's like the priest at mass. You know, he's he's praying over the players and everything, and it's just the way it is for that event. Dan Hicks, I think, does a nice job with now. You know, they have the U.S. Open back since Fox gave it up, and now they have the British Open, the Open Championship. So NBC is really, their tentacles are everywhere. And I think Tommy Roy, who's the producer of NBC, does a really good job. It's hard to pick.
The correct answer, by the way,
is
NBC.
Yeah, you like
because
NBC.
That's where our next guest, Mark Rolfing, resides.
Of course.
As Mark joins the show here on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Mark, good morning to you. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. And I love your conversation because I'm all in favor of everybody liking the diversity between the two networks or the three networks, whatever it's going to be going forward. I think we need some variety, and I'm with you on that one. The same thing every week would be boring.
I agree with you, Mark, for sure, and love what you're doing on the Golf Channel, of course, which is so great with you and Brandel and Justin Leonard. It just gives so much. And of course, Rich Lerner, those guys are just really tremendous. So thanks for being with us. Our sort of the debate now is will he or won't he, Mark? And you're down there on the ground, and what do you think?
You know, I'm leaning toward yes. I don't know really anything more than anybody else does. I don't think. Now, there's certainly some people that would know things more than me or that I know. But I don't know. All the indications are that he is going to try. You know, I think the experiment or whatever it was the other day was semi-successful. I heard you guys talking about, you know, some of the issues, and he's got a lot of them. For me, it's going to be walking downhill. As you well know, if you walk uphill, and there's both down and up at the Masters, you walk uphill, you can use your upper body kind of to push against the hill and help you go. But if you're walking downhill, all the pressure goes to your lower body, your knees, your ankles, your feet, and that's where he's going to have the trouble.
Mark Rolfing from the Golf Channel with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Mark, what's his physical condition like? Because Barry and I think are sort of in agreement. That's the most important part. But do you think his body can hold up? Because he's not doing this for 36 holes. He's doing this to try to do 72. Can he right now withstand 72?
You know, I never say never anymore about Tiger Woods.
Smart man.
I called some of those rounds in 2008 at Torrey Pines with his broken leg. I remember him hitting a shot where he literally buckled to his knees on the ground. He was in so much pain. I swear I could hear, walking alongside him, I could hear his knee. There was like this clicking sound or something. It was the weirdest thing. So I never say never against Tiger, but you're right. If it were, you know, the PNC and he could get in a cart and only 36 holes and choose to not hit some shots, you know, that'd be completely different. But he doesn't have that choice here. It is going to be a tough go. And I really think you're going to have to see him playing a different style of golf than what you're used to Tiger doing. There's just no way he is going to be able to generate the club head speed we're used to seeing him generate.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you mentioned 2008 Torrey Pines. I was just telling Tyler a little while ago, I was reading Bob Herrick's book about the rivalry between Tiger and Phil, and in it, there's an account of Torrey Pines, and he talks about, like what you just said about how you could hear the clicking. He interviewed a couple of the caddies that were, you know, played with Tiger, who were caddying for players in Tiger's group during the week, and they were saying, "I heard his leg crack during the thing." So, my feeling is, Mark, is like if he pulls out now, it really takes the air out of the room of the Masters, and the expectations are so high. So I got a feeling that maybe he's going to try to meet the expectations and he's going to give it a shot.
You know, I'm with you, Barry. I'll tell you, the biggest change that I have seen in Tiger in the last few years, and a lot about Tiger Woods has changed over the years, particularly in the last decade, let's say, but the biggest change I've really seen in the last few years with him is that he now fully appreciates and embraces the fans and knows what he does in terms of providing enjoyment for them. I don't think either he didn't know it or understand it earlier in his career, or he didn't care, one of the two. But he does now, and I think the fans have become very important to him, certainly his family, too. In the beginning, he did things for him and his dad, really. Those were the two motivating factors for what Tiger's decisions were. But now, I think he realizes just how much he means to the fans and the game, and that's why I think he's pushing to do it.
Mark Rolfing from Golf Channel with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Mark, you bring up how something's changed with his perception of golf and leading into these events. In your opinion, why have things changed for him?
I think maybe the longer he got away from his dad being alive on the earth was a big difference for Tiger. I think certainly the big slap in the face for getting caught doing the things he was doing in his personal life changed things too. But you know, his dad was such a huge influence on him, and his dad was a tough father. He was a military guy, and, you know, the way that he raised Tiger and trained him to become the athlete that he is, you know, I think got him mentally in that framework. His dad did not want him to show any weakness to any of his competitors. He didn't want him to release emotion. He didn't want him to become friends with his competitors. He he really wanted Tiger to be separated because he felt Tiger was the greatest and going to be the greatest of all time. And I think as Tiger moved away from that a little bit, and maybe his mom became more of an influence on him, I think that was one of the reasons why he changed.
Yeah. People aren't even talking about Phil Mickelson or the fact that Hideki Matsuyama, the defending champion at the Masters, had the WD from San Antonio because of an injury or whatever. It's just amazing how Tiger has just taken all the air out of the room.
Yeah, think about, you know, Brandel and I were talking about this the other night. Scottie Scheffler, you know, had gone from winning his first tournament to becoming number one in the world. That happened in 42 days. Amazing meteoric rise that he had. It took Tiger over 250 days to win his first tournament and then become number one. Jordan Spieth, I think, was 750, and Justin Rose was 6,000 days. It typically takes a long time. Yet the response to Scottie Scheffler doing that, I mean, Tiger's social media impressions are like 1,000 times greater than Scheffler accomplishing this. So, yeah, I mean, I know Tiger wants to do it if he can, and I know he feels like he will let people down. I hope he doesn't push it too hard. You know, I believe it's the kind of an injury that you could probably make worse if you're not careful. So he's got to be very careful if he ever wants to play again.
So, Mark, you know, I'm the editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, and everybody comes up to me. I can't tell you how many times people come up to me and say, hey, what's going on with that golf course down on the south side where you're going to marry the South Shore and Jackson Park and all that? And I say, well, I just don't think they have enough money. I don't know what's going on. So I know it was your brainchild, really. You know, I don't even remember how many years ago that was, but is there anything they tell you that you could tell us? Or, I don't know, maybe it's just in, you know, Chicago politics. I don't know.
Well, yes, Barry, it's Chicago politics, certainly. We knew it was going to take quite a bit of time. And even if you think about Tiger Woods, who's a key component here, you know, he's trying to figure out what he's going to do in the rest of his life. We are not shy on motivation. That is still there. I was in Chicago this past week, and I was down at South Shore in Jackson Park, and I truly still believe in the bottom of my heart it's going to happen. There are similar projects going on around the country, one in Philadelphia that took almost 9 years before it ever got started. We are just going into our sixth year. You know, there are so many other issues that the city of Chicago is facing that it's difficult in some cases, you know, for the key people to focus on golf, and rightfully so. When you have education problems and crime problems and things like Chicago's facing, that makes it tough. But having said that, I still feel good about it. I think it will happen. It's just too good a project. And frankly, those two courses, they're both over 100 years old, have not had any major work done on them in years and years and years. The framework plan that was put together in 1999 indicated that the two courses had to be brought up to industry standards. Only industry standards, and that was 23 years ago, and nothing's happened.
Right.
So somebody is going to have to spend some money to get those courses fixed up and sustainable. Otherwise, I could see a scenario in the not too distant future where they aren't sustainable and really couldn't be open because they need money.
Yeah. Mark Rolfing from the Golf Channel with us here for just a few more minutes. Mark, real quickly, obviously Tiger, if he plays in Augusta, that's the story. Everyone's going to be following him, right? Who are some of the under-the-radar players that people should be paying attention to, aside from Tiger?
Well, you know, under the radar is a tough one to kind of peg. Some people say yeah. Cameron Smith isn't under the radar. But certainly I think he's a guy to pay attention to. Sam Burns, another one kind of like him. I think it's going to be a pretty predictable Masters. I don't think you're going to see, you know, some really strange, you know, just completely out of the woods kind of winner. simply because so many of the best players are playing well and hungry. Justin Thomas is really going in here with a chip on his shoulder. I like his chances a lot. Brooks Koepka has been playing quite well. How do you go against John Rahm? But having said that, I know what you guys are looking for, Tyler and Barry, and I'm going to give you a name, Sepp Straka.
You guys, okay. The first Austrian to win the Masters. That'd be good.
Yeah, the first Austrian ever to be on the PGA Tour. This guy is really good. He hits it a long way. He's a fabulous putter. He's got all the ingredients. He won at Honda, of course. But keep your eye on Sepp Straka.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel. Check his work out there. We appreciate you taking some time with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. And enjoy Augusta this week.
I will. And I'll see you guys in the spring in Chicago.
Thank you very much, Mark. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Take care.
All right. That's Mark Rolfing from the Golf Channel. 312-332-3776. If you got a Masters pick for us, if you've been to Augusta, too, we'd love to hear your experience. You've got some experiences. You're going this week. You're going to be down there. You've been there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just another spring in April for Barry Cronin. But for people like myself, this is bucket list type of stuff. So we'll talk to you about that coming up next. What are you looking for at Augusta? If you're going for the first time, if you've been, you want to give us a little travel guide for Augusta, we'll do all of that. This segment was brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf. Without the drive, Tullymore Golf Resort. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Back to the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club on ESPN 1000.
Barry Cronin with you every single Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m., talking all things PGA Tour, talking all things golf. We're going to talk to Brett Packey in just a little bit, swing coach for Nick Hardy. Barry, I should say. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. So a lot of people have been talking about the Masters and going down bucket list sort of deal for a lot of people. You've been down there countless times. For you, what's the experience like every time you go down there? Why does it not get old for someone like you who's been a veteran of going down to Augusta as much as you have?
Well, you know, I kind of go down. It's kind of a business trip for me, seeing people, seeing writers, being in the communications industry for PGA Tour events, et cetera. But it's also really unbelievable because it changes so much every year. The course changes a little bit. The buildings change. A couple of years ago they built this huge press building. It looks like I don't know if you've ever seen Gone with the Wind, but you know the mansion Tara, right? where Rhett Butler tells her that you know he doesn't give a damn. But the building itself is this beautiful southern building. Architecturally, and then you go in, and it's all the latest and greatest, very high standard of media treatment and things that they've got going there. So it's just great to be down there and just kind of connect with the golf world because that's the place to be every year. They do an annual golf writers dinner where they give away. They have Player of the Year awards. They do writing awards. So, you know, back in the day, Tiger was there every year, a lot of people been there every year. It's just a cool experience.
It's fascinating to me because you think about all of these sports fan bucket list trips, right? People think Super Bowl. People think the Final Four, which is going on right now. People think of the Masters, obviously. Money can get you into a lot of those, right? If you've got resources and the financial means, you can go to the Super Bowl. You can go to the Final Four. You can go and play some of these other golf courses. Just because you have money doesn't necessarily mean you're getting into the Masters, though.
No, and what's amazing is we had an article in the magazine this month, is that a ticket, the face value of a ticket to go to the Masters for the entire week, a weekly badge is $375.
Right.
So
You think about that.
Think about it.
A Super Bowl ticket, I think this past year, the Super Bowl tickets were through the roof, setting records.
The face value on the Super Bowl ticket was, it was thousands of dollars. This is $375, and it's still the hardest ticket in sports to get.
Everything down there is pretty cost effective,
when
you think about concessions and all that stuff. It's not like going to Wrigley Field and paying $12 for a beer.
It is, right, exactly. For $12, you get three beers at Augusta because they're $4. And the sandwiches are very inexpensive. If you spend $8 for lunch, you're spending a lot of money down there. So once you get in, it's terrific. The other way to get in is if you're a big top corporate executive and you get invited by some other top corporate executive that has badges, and there's a lot of corporate hospitality that happens down there. There's a place called the Double Eagle Club, which is located across the street from the member and player entrance on Magnolia Lane. It's on Washington Road. A guy named Charlie Besser from Chicago thought of it, started it 30 years ago, and they host corporate people. They do all kinds of lunches. They have special guests come in there, and they'll transport people over with badges to get in. So there are big companies that have badges in that they'll bring people in for a couple of days, and they'll use the these people use the badge maybe for 2 days, and then they'll bring in another group of people. They'll use the badges for another 2 days. They stay in these big houses, and they have chefs on site. It's quite an operation. I think Mercedes has its own little neighborhood.
Wow.
Where they have people.
Do they all get Mercedes golf carts and stuff to mill about as well?
It's an interesting thing. I stay with, there's no hotels down at Augusta. Mm-hmm. There really aren't any they just cannot accommodate. So people, you wind up staying in private homes. So I stay with an older couple from Augusta for the last few years and have been there. And one of the lady tells me, she's probably, maybe late 70s. She says, Barry, she says, I remember when they were begging people to just come to Augusta to see the Masters. They were giving tickets away for free. And when I was a little girl. So it's a long time ago. But now, you look at it, and it's the toughest ticket in sports. There is a lottery, though, if you should go. Anybody who's interested in going, go to masters.com, get in the lottery every year. I actually did the lottery once and won, which was shocking to me, and was able to get four tickets for a Tuesday. And had some family come down. So it's totally cool, and so must be doable. If it happened to me, and I don't win anything, I mean, I could be buying those scratcher tickets for the rest of my life on the lottery. And
you're more likely to win the Masters draw.
I'm more likely to win the Masters lottery. So
312-332-3776 if you want to share a Masters experience with us. That's where we check in with our guy, Will, on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Will in Virginia. What's going on, Will?
Hey, what's up, guys? Congrats on the show. So I was an intern with the baseball team in Augusta in 2016. So I was in Augusta from like late January through into September. But yeah, it was really cool to be able to go to. I didn't get to go to like the actual like the golf itself, but I got to go in there during the practice round. Like everybody got like an hour, so it was like a blur. But we were able to go in there. And kind of just check it out. And it was super surreal because, it's like the whole sports world, of course, is looking at Augusta for that 1 week out of the year, basically. And so it was kind of surreal because it's like I was there before, of course, leading up to that. And I remember the they were getting the town like all beautified and ready for that 1 week out of the year. They were changing, I think they were changing the street. Lines like to turn, make extra turn lanes or whatever, just to accommodate the craziness, the chaos.
They do. They change the roads from two way to one way, just to facilitate traffic movement, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would drive by it just to go to the baseball stadium every day, so I could see not even the buildings itself, but kind of like through like the shrubbery or whatever. I just remember like driving by it all the time. So to be in there was super surreal. And I'm not even necessarily the biggest golf fan, but I super appreciated to even just be able to be there. And I thought it was so cool, and I was so lucky to even just be there for like an hour. So it was definitely a cool experience.
Yeah.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the baseball team is called the Augusta Green Jackets, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so they kind of incorporate the
mascot is a hornet, right? But it's got the double entendre of the green jacket, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Will. Appreciate you calling 312-332-3776. Will checked in on our Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. That's also where we found Mark Rolfing as well. 312-332-3776. We are going to give away another one of those CDGA starter packs right now. So be caller 10 right now. You will win. This is the whole pack. You ready for it? A CDGA towel, a Chicago Blackhawks towel, a sleeve of zero friction distance golf balls, a CDGA hat, a divot repair tool, and a free Jersey Mike's sub. All of that if you are caller 10 right now, 312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Brett Packey from the Illinois PGA, Nick Hardy's lifetime instructor. He's going to tell you, how are you getting ready for this upcoming golf season, which is just around the corner? Some people have already gotten a couple rounds in. I believe our guy Yurko here at the station, ESPN 1000, I think he's probably already played 36 or 54 holes at this point. So Brett Packey is going to get you ready for the upcoming golf season. That's coming up next. This segment was brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of the Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. We will be right back.
Back to the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club on ESPN 1000.
It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Rocky. He is the editor of Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Barry Cronin. And this segment is brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. We've been talking Masters all morning, Tiger Woods, will he, won't he play? And if you miss any of this, be sure to check out the CDGA Golf Show podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app as well. Congratulations to Steve Status. He is the winner of the latest CDGA starter pack. We're going to give away one more of those, all right? We're going to give away one more of those. It's going to come up around 8:50. So be listening at 8:50 if you want another chance to win. And it's a hell of a starter pack we got for you here. We've got a CDGA towel, a Blackhawks towel, a sleeve of zero friction distance balls, a CDGA hat, a divot repair tool, and for your post-round match meal, you can get yourself a free Jersey Mike sub.
Free
in
golf
there as
balls
well.
And free lunch. I mean, think
doesn't
about
get better
it.
Than
what,
that.
What, I mean, you know, what else do you want in life?
Does not get better than that. And doesn't get better than that when we go to our Jersey Mike's hotline, where we find Brett Packey, the lifetime coach for Nick Hardy, a member from the Illinois PGA. Brett, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, guys. You? Good morning.
Good morning to
good
you.
Good morning, Brett. It's really nice to talk to you. I know you've got a lot of very high-level students, people like Nick Hardy and competitive players, but then you also probably have some schlubs like me, you know what I mean, mid-teen handicap. And you know that you if you read your Chicago District Golfer magazine in November, we had an article on what to do with those 5 months so that you could get better. I didn't do anything. I watched TV and stuff. So you got to have students like me, Brett. So what are we supposed to do with the golf season just around the corner after it stops snowing?
Yeah, no question. Well, in my case, I got new clubs about a month ago. I suppose I should get them out of the box.
Yeah, well, that would be good.
But, yeah, that's a starter. No, I'm sitting here at Northmore Country Club where I teach and coach, and sun's out and the snow's melting, and I kind of wish I was teaching outdoors today, but soon enough, I suppose.
Yeah.
Brett Packey from the Illinois PGA with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Brett, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see people make in their first round or two after a long layoff?
Yeah, for sure. And I think a great starting point is obviously putting. greens have been closed for 5-6 months now. Just getting started with this season, the greens are going to be wet and soft, and they haven't been mowed in a while, and there's a little growth during the winter time. And I believe in just getting some feel and touch going to start. And a simple thing is just really standing in the middle of a putting green and just rolling balls, putting balls to the fringe, to the collar. Usually the collars are about 2 feet wide, and if you can stand 10, 20, 30, 40 feet away from that and get the ball to come to rest, you'll start to develop some good touch and feel, and I think that's a great starting point.
Yeah, the short game is always a good way to start out. And I imagine maybe some chipping too, huh, Brett?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the other thing is, for those that do practice in the wintertime, we have so many amazing facilities in the Chicagoland area to practice and hit off of simulators and golf domes and all that. The one issue is that, you know, mats provide very little friction. So there's a lot of bounce and almost an accelerated movement. When you get outdoors and on grass and you're fighting sand and dirt and mud and thicker grass and such, the club tends to really slow down. So one thing I like to do, especially when I go on a golf trip to Florida or Arizona in the wintertime, is practice aiming for the tops of the flag sticks. Just get your focal point and your eye line up a little bit higher than you're used to looking at, just to make sure that, hey, we are hitting this a little bit harder. We are going to start work on accelerating the club through the bottom as opposed to kind of the decel that mats kind of train us to do.
Brett Packey from the Illinois PGA with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki and Barry Cronin. Brett, you brought up the golf simulators and the indoor domes, but it is hitting off turf, like you mentioned. And I've seen the rise of golf simulators lately. I mean, we've got two guys at the station that I think are at a golf simulator every damn weekend, in Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah. But what are things that you should be focusing on when you are hitting off of the turf, even though it's not the true experience of hitting off of the grass?
Well, at Northmoor, we have a great indoor facility with three hitting bays, and I do all my club fitting indoors, even in season. There's so much to work on, your yardages, your gaps in clubs, your distances with, you know, new wedges and such. It's really endless. As far as the contact goes, yeah, you do get a little bit of relief and a little bit of bounce off the mats, but, you know, as the millions of golf shots I've watched in my career, I can hear if it's one hit or two hits. So I don't focus so much on the contact, but like I had a fitting yesterday where a student's 4-iron and student's 5-iron were almost identical ball speeds. So that's really, one of those clubs can disappear and we can fit a hybrid or a fairway wood or something else to get the gaps correct. So you should be really working on your gaps, your ball speeds, your distances as far as true carry goes, and a lot can be accomplished for sure.
Hey, Brett, one of the problems that I think in the industry now is that it seems like a lot of teachers, every teacher I talk to is just backed up with students, and they have waiting lists of students. And you've got so many people, especially younger people, coming into the game. Am I wrong about that, or is it true that most pros just don't have any room to teach anybody?
It's definitely trending that way. Rounds are up 30-40% over the last couple of seasons, and that's, you know, a lot of new golfers. And I think the studies would show that really only 10-15% of all golfers in the world take lessons. So think about the other 85%.
Wow.
Hacks like myself.
Yeah, you know, I think you just got to be creative in cutting down time frames to see more people. And, you know, there's a doctor I know that worked on my shoulder that he sees a couple hundred patients a day, and you get him for about a minute. But, you know, I think you just kind of be creative on that. And certainly we hope that in the industry and the PGA of America that more people will get into the golf profession and start their careers. And, I mean, teaching and coaching is just so fun, so awesome.
Brett, I do want to ask you real quickly, since we've got the Masters coming up this week, and this actually just coming across the wire. This is from Tiger Woods tweeting from his account right now. He says, "I will be heading up to Augusta today to continue my preparation and practice. It will be a game-time decision on whether I compete. Congratulations to 16-year-old Anna Davis on an amazing win at the Augusta National Women's Amateur Golf, and good luck to all the kids in the drive, chip, and putt." So I ask you, Brett, we've been debating it all morning long. Will Tiger Woods tee it up on Thursday?
Well, he hasn't called me, so I'm not sure. But I think the one thing is obviously the physical side, right? But the second thing is, when was his last competitive round? And it was quite a while ago. And I think he's not going to play if he doesn't think he has a chance to win. So if he feels his game's in good enough shape and he's been shooting the scores and putting in the work, and he's not going to go out there and shoot 80. He wants to win. And I think if he feels he can win, he'll play.
Right. Well, we're hoping that he does, because if he doesn't, he'll kind of let everybody down. But
Brett, I do have a question too. In working with someone who's maybe coming back from injury, maybe somebody got a procedure done on their shoulder over the off season. What advice would you give to them getting back into the swing of things and gradually ramping themselves back up for competition?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've certainly battled enough injuries over my playing career. It takes time. You start small, and each day you try to add a mile an hour or two of speed, and until you reach the numbers that you're used to seeing. And a lot of cases in these injuries, just like the Major League Baseball pitchers with the Tommy John surgeries, they come back stronger because they've got new treads. So if you've had some work done, once you do the rehab and you get the flexibility and range of motion down, things should come back pretty good, if not better.
All right, Brett Packey from the Illinois PGA, we appreciate you taking some time with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Brett. All right, so some great stuff there, and we do have that now, Tiger update. So let's talk about that. Let's flesh that out a little bit more. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump on in as well and talk all things Tiger Woods. Will he, won't he compete at the Masters on Thursday? That's the big question right now. This segment was brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. And also, when we come back, we will give away another one of those CDGA starter packs, so be listening for that in just a little bit. We'll be right back on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show with your hosts, Tyler Aki and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club on ESPN 1000.
Wrapping things up here on the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Aki. He's Barry Cronin. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. So we've been talking all things Masters today. We've been talking all things Tiger Woods. Tiger is dropping some inklings here that he might play. He tweeted about 10 minutes ago saying that he's heading up to Augusta today to continue his prep and practice and will be a game-time decision. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, he tweeted out saying everything about Tiger and how he announced this morning that it'll be a game time decision. And he says it feels fitting to type game time decision on a Sunday again. So Adam Schefter, always cute. And he's giving you some NBA scoops from time to time. He's going with Master stuff this week. So he's all over the board here. Let's go out to our Jersey Mike's hotline, where we invite Linda from Tinley Park into the conversation. What's going on, Linda?
Hi, guys. Loving the show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thanks for
calling. Hey, just a quick story. I was blessed to have been chosen in the lottery for the Par 3 Wednesday in 2012. So it was a bucket list item. Went to Augusta, walked the entire course, which even more beautiful in person, as Barry can attest to. And, oh, my God, far more exhausting than I would have thought.
But a lot of hills, right?
So many hills, and it's just so beautiful. And, the Eisenhower tree was still there at the time. It was just, it was definitely a bucket list item. So we finished walking the course. We're about to go over to to watch the Par 3 contest, and it starts raining. And I mean hellacial, sideways hurricane rain. And, they call everyone off the course. So as we are walking, you can't walk on the course when it's raining. They protect it, understandably. So as we're walking on the perimeter back, you can see through this rain. And the rain was like, if you picture the scene in Caddyshack where the judge is standing.
Exactly.
it's that type of
driving.
I don't
think the hard stuff is going to start for another hour or so.
Yeah, exactly. And I happen to look over, and I can see in the near distance the practice putting area. Who's out there in this sideways hurricane rain? Only one out there practicing, Tiger Woods.
Wow. Yep. He's the man. He's the man for a reason. And, you know, you have those I've been down there when it's rained really bad on a Wednesday. And as you may remember, Augusta is about one of the few places in the world where you see ladies in skirts and sometimes even high heels because they forgot to bring their walking shoes.
Yeah.
And it can be I remember when it rained, it might have been that year, I don't know, but people fall down. And they got mud all over the pants, and it's quite a scene. But yeah, it's a drag when it rains, when you've got practice round tickets and then they evacuate the course. That kind of stinks.
Well, we had come in at gate 9, and we were all on the other, like the far side, and they wouldn't let us, you know, cut across to get back to our car. They made us walk around the entire perimeter. And I had, you know, I had shopped for friends and family.
Sure.
And all of my stuff was at the pro store on 9.
Right.
And they told me that they would mail me my stuff. And I thought, oh, God, I'll never see it again. And
sure enough. That place,
they
don't fool around, man. It's really, really tremendous. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
And they do. Yeah. Well, thank you, Linda.
I have been, I hate to be selfish, but I have been trying to get back to Augusta ever since. And for those that, you know, I can only say, like, do the lottery. It's worth your time and effort. Keep trying because it is a trip of a lifetime.
It sounds like it. Everyone that's been down there raves about it. And we thank you, Linda, for checking in with us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. So, I mean, Linda's shared her stories. There are some other things going on down there, though, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Can you kind of lay it out for us right now, Barry?
So
real quick,
everyone, as we mentioned, the Augusta National Women's Amateur was played there, and a 16-year-old girl from California, Anna Davis, won it. She's not only 16 years old, sophomore in high school, beat all these great female college players. And she's lefty on top of it. So there you go, a Phil Mickelson type of and a Bubba Watson type of winner at Augusta. The other thing was the first winner of the Augusta National Women's Amateur, Jennifer Kupcho, is leading the first LPGA event of major of the year, the Chevron Championship, which is out at the Mission Hills on the Dinosaur Tournament Course. So it's the last year for that at that course. They're going to move it to Houston next year. There's a lot of sentimentality toward that course, and it's unfortunate that they won't be able to play there anymore. The other thing that's going on is the Valero Texas Open down in San Antonio.
Yep. Got a 4 tied at the top right now.
10 under par. Listen, that's a really great tournament because the winner of that tournament gets into the Masters. And a lot of those guys are, you know, at the top of the leaderboard. Brant Snedeker, Bo Hostler, Dylan Fratelli, J.J. Spaun, Scott Stallings. These are not exactly household names in the world of golf fans, but they're all fighting like crazy to get into the Masters. Yep. And so it's be a tournament worth watching today.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the first CDGA Golf Show here, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment was brought to you by Zero Friction. We'll be back next week. Thanks to Jay Cantu for producing, and we'll be back with you next week on the show.